and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. We have brand new jobs numbers as investors look for signs of a slowdown amid President Trump's rising tariffs. The Labor Department just reporting employers created 139,000 new positions in May, slightly fewer or significantly fewer than the 177,000 the month before. Most new jobs were in healthcare, leisure, and hospitality. Unemployment unchanged at 4.2%. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
The government jobs report comes just days after ADP said that there were only 37,000 private sector jobs created. In that ADP report, small businesses, the ones with fewer than 50 employees, actually cut workers.
Again, Labor Department reporting employers created 139,000 new positions in May compared to 177,000 the month before. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Republicans are introducing a bill they say would make hospital prices more transparent in Wisconsin. Savannah Tome Olson has the details.
A study from the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Foundation found Wisconsin has the fifth highest healthcare costs in the country. Their study showed private health plans paid more than 300% more than Medicare did for the same services. Dr. Nicole Hemkiss owns Advocate MD in Madison.
I remember an experience 1 or 2 years ago of calling one of our local healthcare systems, and I had a list of 4 or 5 specific x-rays that I wanted to get the cash price for. I was doing this for our patients in order to figure out what would be the most competitive prices for them. After being transferred to 3 or 4 different people, multiple calls back and unreturned phone calls, I was told that they couldn't give me the cash price because they needed to run this through insurance. And I explained to them that they should know what they are charging for a service that they are doing at their hospital.
Meanwhile, just this week, an analysis from Turquoise Health showed Wisconsin has the highest price transparency in the nation. Federal price transparency rules were put in place in 2021, and since then, no Wisconsin hospital has ever been fined for breaking those rules. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
No-mow May has ended for many municipalities, and now it's Please Mow June. During the month of May, participating towns and cities allowed residents to let lawns grow above the length allowed by municipal ordinances. Now that we're past that early season where pollinators needed the extra help, officials ask that lawn owners trim the grass back to the length in compliance with city and town ordinances. In Stevens Point, grass must be under 9 inches. Wisconsin Rapids residents, yours should be under 7. Happy mowing! I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers face the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the San Diego Padres tonight at AmFam Field in Milwaukee. San Diego's Randy Vasquez against the Brewers right-hander Chad Patrick, who's 3-4 with an ERA of 2.97. Manager Pat Murphy.
Chad Patrick continues to show that he has the right stuff, meaning the right insides to pitch up here and pitch in big situations.
NBA, the Pacers with a last-second shot by Tyrese Halliburton beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 111-110 in Game 1 of the NBA Finals, Game 2 Sunday night. NFL, Aaron Rodgers agrees to a 1-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he says he already knows the team's quarterback coach.
And the quarterback coach is actually a guy named Tom Arth. Tom Arth was in the quarterback room with me in 2006 in Green Bay in the offseason. The first offseason I ever did went through the Mike McCarthy quarterback school. It was me and Tom Arth and Tom Clements.
The Steelers host the Packers week 8 in Pittsburgh with sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We are going to have off and on scattered showers and even a few thunder showers as we make our way through the weekend, but there will still be plenty of dry time. Scattered showers today, low to mid 70s for a high. Tonight, we'll drop down into the low 50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms, high in the low to mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens, actor Mark Unger, and it's a Bar Band Friday night with Rocker filling in for his Maxine co-host Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Friday morning, June 6th. Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls, Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2 at the Civic Media Global HQ. Have you come down from the high of your Whitewater baseball team winning the national championship this week?
You know, Pat, I thought I was, and then I saw some pictures this morning of the little homecoming parade they had yesterday, last night, and I was like, ooh, we're national champs. This is kind of cool.
So you did not race back there for the little parade, as you say?
No, I didn't. I had some self-restraint.
Okay.
Figured I should go to bed.
All right. Let's see. I believe I'm sure that I mentioned Dr. Lyerly may be coming by, and I plumb forgot that I believe she has a conflict today, so we will not be talking with her about. It's too bad because one of the last notes I got from her was that I don't know if she was there. I assume she was there, but she might have just told me that the Wisconsin Medical Society had its doctor day at Monona Terrace this week in Madison. And that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was there, and that he made some crack about to these doctors about them needing to do their research. And I had this great question that I wanted to ask Kristen, and it was whether there were any proctologists amongst all the doctors that were in there, so that maybe somebody could finally find whatever bug it is that crawled up Robin Voss's posterior and made him the way that he is, single-handedly preventing the expansion of stable, affordable health care for new moms from 60 days to 12 months. But unfortunately, if there was a proctologist there, we don't know yet.
No.
So Kristen should be here Monday morning at 6:30. And so we'll talk to her more about that and everything else that comes up. Robin Tigerton wants to congratulate you as well, Whitewater, for winning the national championship.
Thank you very much, Rob.
And we want to say again, happy birthday to the Rob, because I was looking at the post here that Dr. Lyerly put up all about Rob's birthday and collecting some birthday love. So we appreciate all of that as well. We always like to have everybody joining us by text or in the comment section or anything like that. It just makes everything so much more well-rounded. Mike Clemens is going to be here at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to talk a little bit of sports because there was that big comeback in the NBA Finals Game 1 last night with Indiana never leading in the game until the very end, 0.3 seconds left, Tyrese Halliburton shooting. And then the night before, Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals went to overtime, and Edmonton came all the way back to defeat Florida. So Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals is tonight. And so, Parker, what have we learned from this? Go to bed early.
Oh, yeah, that too. I've learned that this is definitely going to overtime.
It could. And again, I don't have a problem with that. Well, one overtime.
After that. One overtime is fun. More than that, especially in hockey, because they do the whole 20-minute like intermissions between.
Well, the Zamboni's got to do Zamboni things.
Oh, I know. It's just it makes it so much longer.
I know. I mean, imagine if in between all the basketball periods, you had to like take somebody's Hoover or Eureka, and we're just going to go up and down and vacuum the entire basketball court.
That would be a really good like marketing thing. Why didn't like one of those robotic vacuums ever
Roomba?
Get a deal with?
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
That'd
oh
be
my
sick.
Gosh, we've hit on something. Roomba, the basketball court. Get a Roomba Zamboni.
Yeah.
For the basketball courts. Oh, I love this. Tony, unhappy about the all the many double-digit comebacks. Very frustrating because he wants them to lose. I assume he's talking about the Pacers.
Yeah.
And it just does not appear. Look, if there's one thing I know about sports, and there's not a lot, but the one thing I know is people going, well, these are small market teams. Nobody's watching. People will watch a game seven. And all they want is a long series. So they're happy Indiana won because Oklahoma City was the favorite. So as long as this keeps happening and they end up, instead of playing four games, play five, six, or seven, everybody's going to be very happy.
Yeah.
Today is National Donut Day. It's mentioned in our newsletter. You can head over to upnorthnewswi.com for that link and to learn more about it, including where some national lists put some of Wisconsin's best donut shops at. I don't know that I have one these days. You know, some bakeries have come and gone over the years. I know down there in Madison, Greenbush is a very popular one. I know that it makes some national lists. I don't know about Whitewater, but did you have a favorite place to go get donuts back in the day?
I'm not, as much as I love donuts, I don't know that I've ever like gone out specifically for the purpose of finding a donut. Mm-hmm. Whitewater, what's it called? I think it's Sweet Spot Cafe. I'm not sure if I've ever been there, but everyone says that it's very good.
Okay.
So, Sweet Spot Cafe.
I would love if people got on either the text line or in the comment section and just gave a shout out to some local donut shops. In Eau Claire, there used to be a place called Heppner's Bakery, which was always good. Some of your local grocery stores, you know, can still make up some good fresh donuts. And I'll say this, and again, I don't mean this with any animus toward the folks here, but there's one chain that's known for its donuts. It's right there in the name. And yet, I have never warmed up to Dunkin' Donuts.
No?
Or now Dunkin', as it's called.
Is it just Dunkin' now? I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Well, it's D-U-N-K apostrophe N. Because, again, nobody uses full words anymore because you got to text, you know?
Yeah.
BRB, be right back, you know? So Dunkin' Donuts, and yet, on the other hand, the chain that I can't believe had to eventually pare back and downsize, Krispy Kreme. Because I remember when Krispy Kreme donuts were relatively new and when the chain was really expanding.
Yeah.
And those puppies would come right off they'd put that glaze on right out of the fryer. So they were warm and they were gooey and, oh. I still can't believe there's not one on every corner.
That sounds really nice. I would love some Krispy Kreme.
I know, doesn't it, though? So, anyway, National Donut Day. Again, a little bit more in our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. And then you can also follow us on social media. And if you do that, you'll find that there's a story there. I think it was first seen on CNN, and we put it in ours as well, about a Wisconsin artist who, using reclaimed wood, mostly from thrown-out furniture, use that wood to create some very artistic logos for every NFL team. And then those wooden logos were on display all throughout Green Bay for the draft at Lambeau Field a few weeks back. And so it's a follow-up story about how that artist's handiwork, again, using the reclaimed wood, all that work is now going to, I think, the NFL headquarters to be displayed there. So you can find that story on our Facebook page. Now, Cassandra's jumping back into the donut debate here, saying glazers are better, and Tony saying those are amazing. I'm not going to give you a full-throated endorsement of glazers. I'm sorry.
Are good.
And Alicia's saying we've got a new place in Kimberly called Cheeky Donuts. I like that. Cheeky Donuts. So, who else has got? I'm looking at. You know what? I was so busy looking at one text line that I didn't look at ours. So let me see.
Luke is getting. I believe those must be the donuts from Greenbush.
That it there is a photo from Luke Mathers on the text line of a box of Green Bush donuts on their way to. Oh my goodness!
I'm very happy.
I can be there in 3 hours. Let me just grab the.
They'll be gone, Pat. And, no, I'm having that whole box.
They will. They will. They'll be so gone. That is very unfortunate. Where was I? Oh yes, I was talking newsletters because there'll be a weekend edition out as well that I'll be putting together here shortly with some of the top stories of the week. And again, you can head over to upnorthnewswi.com and subscribe to that there as well. There were so many stories that we didn't even get a chance to get to with the Week in Review panel. One that I just want to spout off on briefly. And it's based in a sad story. There was a death in Alaska of somebody climbing a mountain. And in the story, I realized that the New York Times had reverted to what Donald Trump wants to call it, which is Mount McKinley. And it had been Mount McKinley for a while when some white guy came along and named it after a president who never saw it, never visited it, but to honor him. But, you know, for all of its time previously, the indigenous community there had referred to it as Denali. And during the Bush administration, I believe, the name was formally changed back to Mount Denali. But Donald Trump, along with pretending to change the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, did the same and said this mountain is now renamed Mount McKinley. And I don't know what counts as official and what doesn't count. All I know is the New York Times really disappointed me yesterday by calling it Mount McKinley. And then deeper in the story, it says a vast majority of climbers on Mount McKinley, whose name was changed from Mount Denali by President Trump this year, attempt to, and blah, 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 so on it goes. I'm like, why? Why even go there? With, is that something that a president can just wave their wand and make happen? Because it's going to be changed back. I mean, we can do this all day long, but ultimately, it's going to be Denali because most people understand the reason for it and the reason why the Mount McKinley title wasn't appropriate then and isn't now. The new jobless report has come out, and there's some good news and there's some bad news in there. Employers added 139,000 jobs last month, about in line with economists' expectations, and the unemployment rate is at 4.2%. Now, adding 139,000 jobs is nice, but there's also what the Times calls the Doge effect, and that is that the federal government last month alone shed 22,000 jobs. And since January, the federal government has shed nearly 60,000 jobs, probably more when you also look at the ones who were put on administrative leave or who were contractors and their contracts were cut. Now, again, there's a group out there that says, well, this is good. This is shedding government expense, which it is for the short term. And then you look at the services that they were providing and you look at how things get worse in terms of service or services aren't provided at all. And then it costs more in the long run to restore them. And you realize where the phrase penny wise but pound foolish came from. This is the Trump effect, the Doge effect of shedding all these folks for short-term gain. And again, I say, it's not like cutting all these jobs is going to put money back into anybody's pockets unless you're a billionaire. Because all that money that's not going to pay middle-class people working for or around the government, that money is now just going to go toward tax breaks for the fabulously wealthy. And if you don't believe me when I say you can only shed so many jobs before quality of service struggles, just look at what Elon Musk bought when he bought Twitter and changed it to X. It's a dumpster fire right now. Yesterday was the most time that I'd spent on Twitter or X in about a year. And I left it not just because of Elon Musk and what he did to the company. He let like half the workforce go. The product suffered. And he had no problem putting essentially soft porn on Twitter and putting all kinds of rants from Nazis, and the place has just become a dumpster fire. Still go on time to time because you have to. You have to convey the news and the messaging, you know, where folks are, wherever they are. But Twitter's nothing like what it used to be. And what Elon Musk did to Twitter is exactly what Musk and Trump are doing now to your federal government. We'll continue here live from Lake Wissota on a Friday morning, June 6th here, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
To everyone who believes big flavor makes life better, we've got something special waiting for you at Culver's.
We're introducing something totally new. Concrete mixers and lemon ice coolers made with fruity Skittles Popped. This limited time Skittles Popped mix-in can be blended into our creamy, fresh frozen custard or slow frozen lemonade for a colorful crunch that makes every moment a little sweeter. You don't want to miss this.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uihlein. In 2018 alone, the Uihleins received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, all. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by Margie Straka. She is from the Vesper Recreation Department. Margie, it's good to have you with us.
Hi. It's good to be back. Thank you.
It has been a while. I was thinking as I was talking to Pam earlier, and you and I were just talking, we have to find reasons to bring you back more often. We just got to have you in more, at least twice a year. I love having you in to talk about Vesper and the area and all the great work that you guys are doing as a group to bring a lot of fun and life into Vesper and everything. We love the area. I think it'd be a good idea, maybe like in a couple months from now or something, bring you back and talk about how the event went and some other great things going on over there. So yeah, just to warn you, you're probably going to have to be back a lot sooner this time.
Sounds like a plan.
As we are going to get into Vesper, celebrate Vesper and the great event that you guys have going on, if you don't mind, Margie, I would like to kind of rewind a little bit and get into where the purpose of this group came from and what your guys' mission is, what your goal is with the Vesper Recreation Department.
So there was probably six of us sitting around one night having a few beverages, and we got to talking about the old firemen's picnic and how much fun that was, and we missed it. And we just decided that, hey, let's see if we can do it. And we were supposed to plan things for 2021, and we ended up starting in 2020 with our Easter egg hunt. So we jumped in both feet with that. That went off as a, no problem. Well, we had some problems, the growing pain problems, but so we did that. We jumped right into Vesper Days, and then we jumped into Halloween and Santa and Mrs. Claus, and we just keep going. And this is our fifth year now. So
I appreciate the history lesson right there. Not only as a lover of history, but as somebody, as long as I've lived in this area, I went to pretty much every Vesper Fireman's Picnic. It was something we always looked forward to. It was something I don't remember exactly if I'm misremembering this or not, because I'm getting older and older, but I seem to remember it being at around the July, end of the month, somewhere around there.
Third Saturday in July.
Right. So you've even been able to keep that same time area.
Yep, that's what we wanted.
And I think that especially for a long time, you know, not just Vesper residents, but area residents of Central Wisconsin, that is really helpful. And you guys have worked hard to kind of keep a lot of the fun traditions around, while also just bringing in some new stuff and making it a real celebration of Vesper.
We're trying. We're racking our brains all the time trying to come up with something new. So this year, we always have a lull in the afternoon, so we're trying to figure out between 3 and 6 how to get people to stay or get new people to come. So this year, we added G.L. Wesley, Gary Wesley, Elvis impersonator. So I am very excited to... Hopefully, I'll get some downtime to actually watch and listen to him. Usually, I'm running around putting out fires. So
yeah, and I hope that you were able to take in some of his act too. Did you get to see any of his work online? I was doing a little homework on him.
I did.
He's good.
He is. He's very good.
I'm gonna be honest with everybody. I've seen a lot of Elvis impersonators and seen a lot of them marketed and everything, and in the industry that I work in outside of radio and stuff. And I kind of took it lightly at first, like, oh, an Elvis impersonator, that's a cool idea. And then I look at him and I'm like, oh, this guy's good.
Yeah.
Like, he's got this down, and he's a local.
And I was getting pretty bummed, because I had called every Elvis impersonator that I knew in this area. I'd asked everybody, and everybody was either not doing it anymore or they were booked. So I called this one, and I thought, well, what do I got to lose? And then he had just had a cancellation. So he's coming from Port Washington the night before, and then he's heading, I think, to Green Bay or somewhere off the after, and it's like, this works perfect.
Gary, I cannot encourage you enough to look into Gary's career too. He's been doing this for a while. He's really not only really good at it, but he's a natural performer. And there's something about watching them. I would say that even if you are not as familiar with Elvis's catalog or any of those things, you are going to really enjoy him. You're really going to take in his work. Let alone if you're a fan of the King or any of that.
Right, right.
That's a really nice addition to the show. That's really fun.
And next year we booked Dakota Press Pankratz. He's another Elvis impersonator. I've seen him many times around the area. He was booked this year, so we have him booked for next year.
There you go.
Yeah. So I got my hands in both years.
Well, and any planning ahead, it feels so nice to be able to check mark something off or something. That feels really good. I'm happy for you. So let's go ahead and dive right into the event. Celebrate Vesper, July 19th. Be prepared to be impressed. There are going to be some really cool stuff going on with this one. Let's start right in the beginning of the event on Saturday, July 19th. Things kick off from at 9 a.m.
Well, usually we have people. I'm up at the park at 6:30. We have craft vendors coming, starting around 6:30, 7 o'clock to set up. They're from, I believe it's 9 a.m. to 3.
Yeah.
And then the food truck are coming.
Mm-hmm.
They will be there from about 10 o'clock till 9 o'clock. Then we have...
Because I want to get the details in there. But you were doing great, by the way. You were doing awesome. I had a cheat sheet. Yeah, you were doing great.
So I just didn't want to miss anything. Mm-hmm. So our beer tent will open up at 11, and it goes all night long, even until the band is done. Our parade is at noon. We're changing the route of our parade this year because we have something big coming next year.
Cool.
So we're changing the route of the parade this year to kind of get people ready for next year.
Smart. And a nice little tease. That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm working on the specifics of that yet. Then we have the kids' inflatables again from 1 to 7. The Hayes Brothers Polka Band. Last year we had... not very many people were dancing because it was hotter than blazes out, and they didn't want to dance on the blacktop with no shade. So this year we're moving the polka band inside to the community center in the big half, and then the bingo is going to move to the smaller half.
Sure.
So we're going to share it. We'll just shut the doors and...
I haven't talked to them, but I know that they appreciate it. Yeah. I bet that they like that. That's a really smart idea, too.
So that we figured that will save the, because in the afternoon sun, the bands just bake. So this way, it's a win-win for everybody. So we had our kids' penny scramble last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I told you about the adult scramble.
Yes, yeah.
So after the kids' penny scramble at 1:30, we're going to have the adult scramble again.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Another push for new gun violence measures. Wisconsin Democrats and advocates are proposing a package of gun safety bills. They introduced these bills Tuesday that would institute universal background checks, reinstate a 48-hour waiting period for gun purchases, and add red flag laws. All proposals that have broad bipartisan support across the country and have been introduced here in Wisconsin before. Gun violence is the number one cause of death for American children. It's been that way for years now. Lindsay Busher from Moms Demand Action Wisconsin.
To every parent, whether you're here in Madison or in Green Bay or Eau Claire or La Crosse or Superior, I hope you feel hopeful because this package is for you.
From 2014 to 2023, the gun death rate increased 34% in the U.S. Here in Wisconsin, it rose 54%. During that time, Republicans repealed Wisconsin's 48-hour waiting period to buy a handgun, which had been in place for about four decades. Senator Chris Larson.
As anyone could have predicted, and many of us did, gun violence has risen as a result of it.
Daryl Morin, head of Forward Latino.
In 2022, right here in the state of Wisconsin, we had 830 gun deaths. 277 of those were homicides. The overwhelming majority, 529 were Wisconsinites who took their own life.
Over the last five or so years, Democrats have introduced dozens of gun safety bills. But Republicans control which ones get hearings and, of course, which get passed. So the big question is, will any Republicans get on board? State Senator Deb Andraca.
Some of them say they support some of these measures. That's why we have public hearings. It's shameful that none of these have ever been called up.
We reached out to Speaker Robin Voss to ask if he had any comment on the new bills. But at the time of this recording, we haven't heard back. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Actress Mia Sara is back after a 14-year hiatus. You might know her as Sloane Peterson from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Yahoo Entertainment reports she was back on the red carpet at the premiere of The Life of Chuck, a sci-fi fantasy based on a Stephen King novel. Sara was last seen on the big screen in 2011 in Dorothy and the Witches of Oz. Sara says she is not officially out of retirement, but will always work if director Mike Flanagan asks her. I feel the same way. Here is some cool news on the heels of a really good documentary about Sly and the Family Stone. The Hulu documentary Sly Lives was insightful and a really fun watch. Now, 60 years after a concert recording, a new album will be released. According to Variety, the first family, live at Winchester Cathedral, 1967, will be released this summer. The band's manager put the recordings in a vault shortly after the show decades ago. They were discovered in 2002. The new old material will be released July 18th on High Moon Records. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We are going to have off and on scattered showers and even a few thunder showers as we make our way through the weekend, but there will still be plenty of dry time. Scattered showers today, low to mid-70s for a high. Tonight, we'll drop down into the low 50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms, high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Brady Ewing, three-time Big Ten champion with Wisconsin Badgers and the NFL, will be with us to talk sports, and Peter Rapine of EPOM's World with a humorous week in review.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back. It's 8:35 on this Friday morning. First, shameless plug for the Civic Media app. If you head over to the app, not only can you text in keywords as part of our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest, and your next chance to do that, by the way, is in the 11 a.m. hour, but you can also send just general text messages to us, but you can also use the voice note feature where you tap that and you record a quick little message to us. If you're able to, throw your name and hometown in there. If you don't want to, you just want to give us your 2 cents on something. Here's one that came in just a bit ago from a listener to WAUK.
These petulant children, Elon and Trump, from the Leopards Eating Each Other's Faces party, are totally ridiculous. How much did Elon pay to have Trump elected again?
And again, the answer there was $290 million, but that's part of the voice note feature. Feel free to use that. Send us notes anytime. If Parker were going to send us a note, the note would say, "I got a donut." And for folks watching on social media, he still hasn't taken a bite out of this thing. But Luke, nice evil laugh. Luke Mathers has made it back from Greenbush and is showing off. Is that what you say it was, a s'mores donut? He can't even talk.
It's s'mores
in his face.
It's s'mores and it's spectacular.
Oh my gosh. All right. We did ask where your favorite donuts were. Adam jumps up on YouTube and says, Fosdell Bakery in Stoughton has the best donuts hands down. I looked it up on the website. Yeah, I'd eat those. That is some good stuff here. And from Tony, the aptly named Ashland Baking Company has all sorts of fantastic baked goods. So there you go. We're on National Donut Day. We're just passing things around here. Let's talk about sports for the weekend and bring in Mike Clemens, who will be joining us on a weekly basis to talk about what's happened, what will be happening this weekend. The man's on the road all the time. He's doing all these sports events. And so we've got to start. Oh, wait, I got one more here. Cassandra saying Manderfield's in Appleton for donuts. So I got to start by asking Mike, of all of his travels, Mike, do you have a favorite donut place? Good morning. Thanks for being here.
You know, in my hometown of Beloit, there's a place called Old Fashioned Bakery that's been around for 50, 60 years. They do that that elephant ear cinnamon crisp kind of thing.
Yes.
Oh, that's really dangerous. but no, I love it. And you know, when you get into San Francisco, you talked about Fisherman's Wharf and the great seafood and everything. But they've got a couple of huge, giant bakeries right down there. You know, by the water. Where you can smell the sourdough bread being made on it.
Oh, yes, I have smelled that there. Oh.
Yeah, they should just rename it Carb City, you know.
I believe it. Oh, I'd forgotten all about how good that smells there. That is wonderful. Where do we find you this week? Where are you traveling around to?
Going up to AmFam Field, okay. About 30 minutes from where we live in the Milwaukee area, because the Brewers starting their longest homestand of the season, Pat, and it's tonight it's the Brewers against the San Diego Padres. Padres, pretty good team. They're in second place behind the division leader Dodgers over there in the West. And Murph is probably going to go with Chad Patrick tonight on the mound amidst all the other drama he's had this week. Did you see what happened to Brandon Woodruff?
Yes.
It was supposed to be his final rehab. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Brandon Woodruff has not been able to pitch for the Brewers since September of 2023. Then he has the surgery, and he had an ankle problem during this rehab. And then the other night, it was supposed to be his last rehab start. It's the second inning. He's 12 pitches into the game, throws the ball, batter hits it back at him, hits him in the right elbow. He's right-handed. a contusion. He's had it imaged twice this week, but he's back on the IL. And, you know, they just can't get their veteran pitcher out there to, you know, lead out there. I mean, even help with guys like Freddie Peralta, just being a part of the clubhouse every day and a part of the rotation.
Yes, I mean, the presence matters, and I'm sure he and everybody associated with the team is going, a break cannot be caught with this guy.
No.
You know? So I do fully expect, and I don't mean to be flippant about this, but I will not be surprised if he does finally make it to American Family Field and on his way out to the pitching mound steps on a rake. Because it's these just
that's the way it's going right now.
That's the way it's going right now. So we've got this long homestand coming up, starting with the Padres. And I'd best, before I forget, remind everybody that the pregame starts at 6:35 on stations throughout the Civic Media Radio Network. Head over to the website to learn more. So there's San Diego for the weekend, and then Atlanta Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday is a day game. But then we've got we resume division work going up against the St. Louis Cardinals. So, you know, I'm not diminishing the first two series in this homestand, but boy, they'd best not wear out before next Thursday.
No, it'd be nice to win, you know, if they could win all three of those series. But certainly when the Cardinals come here next weekend, Cardinals in second place right now behind the divisioning leading Cubs. But how about the Brewers just hanging in there 5-6 games behind Chicago, but still getting through this period? And you know, one of the things that's turned around, I mean, that dramatic grand slam that Christian Yelich had the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yep.
The next day he gets hit, you know, in his right hand with a pitch. And you're thinking, you know, thank God it's not a contusion. And he managed to pop back up, you know, woke up the next morning, the swelling had gone down, and he was back out there again. And then he hit another home run to finish out that series in Cincinnati. They beat the Reds now 12 series in a row with that 9-1 win they had on Wednesday afternoon, a much needed rest yesterday before they get into a homestand. So they're in pretty good shape. It's just amazing what Pat Murphy has done, pulling bunnies out of a hat with
yes.
the rotations of the pitching and coming up with this stuff like, you know, DL Hull, the lefty,
who's
a solid pitcher. You know, everyone was disappointed. Why are they sending Logan Henderson down? The kid has won like, you know, 3-4 games in a row here to start his career. But then you see DL out there say, okay, this is a grown man out there on the mound. This is a guy who knows what he's doing. So if they can get him going into full rotation, then they'll be positioned to make a run at this thing for the summer months and hopefully into the fall.
I sure hope so. It's good because I'll tell you, up 2 weeks ago or so, I thought, well, this is it. With all the starting pitcher injuries, it just didn't feel like we were going to bounce back, and we did, especially sweeping in Philly. That was probably the best surprise of the year for me.
About
as surprising as as Yelich not going down because he'd been so injury prone. Let's turn to football for a sec here. The Packers wrapped up their OTAs in Green Bay. For the uninitiated, Mike, OTAs are
organized team activities, and so technically it's volunteer, but you know it's like you and I in a staff meeting for, you know, radio. It's volunteer, but it's a good idea to show up to this.
Yes,
you know, it's a good idea. So
it's what I do. The way I do it now is I do show up, I wave, I then turn my camera off, and I get a few other things done. The meeting's wrapping up. I turn my camera on, I wave, and nobody's the wiser. And so the Packers have an in person version of that.
They do, and there. So it's helmets and shorts, but they're out there 11-on-11. And Jordan Love, man, he threw a ball 60 yards in the air and hit Jaden Reed in stride, and it might be one of the best passes I've seen Love throw, you know, in his whole time in Green Bay. I mean, he's starting to hit these long balls that were kind of 50-50 in the past. Then he hits Romeo Doubs in the corner of the end zone on a two-point conversion, and it's looking pretty sharp. You're a little disappointed because you're looking off to the sidelines, and there's Marshawn Lloyd, who they drafted in the third round last year from USC. I've got no data on this guy, Pat. I mean, he was injured so much last year and on IR. Then when he was coming off and looked like they might get him into some of the games, he has appendicitis. So they end up shutting him down. Well, we get into these OTAs, and I'm like so anxious to see what this number 32 can do, you know, behind Josh Jacobs. And there he's on the sidelines again, this time with Christian Watson, who's coming back from an ACL.
apparently a hamstring. We asked LaFleur about it. He goes, listen, we've seen enough from this guy to know that he could be special. But yeah, it's true. It's, you know, he's got to figure out a way to make himself available and to get. And they said that he worked out really hard after the season. He's been, you know, in the facility working out every day and trying to improve his strength. Then they let Malik Willis, their backup quarterback, take over the offense, running the ones. And he's moving the ball. He's throwing a couple passes, 25, 30 yards downfield, and looking really sharp. And I leaned over to one of the guys from the Packers around the sidelines and said, let me ask you a question. Do the Pittsburgh Steelers have anybody in their roster right now that can play a quarterback as well as Malik Willis? Because they didn't. You know, earlier in the week, with between Mason Rudolph and was it Will Howard, the kid from Ohio State, they picked up like in the sixth round. Mm-hmm. And, you know, point well taken. Like, what are they thinking in Pittsburgh? And then we get yesterday's news. You know, Aaron Rodgers is going to come in today, sign a one-year deal, and it looks like we'll be there for their mandatory minicamp next week in Pittsburgh.
And this has been an ongoing, courtship, romance, whatever you want to call it, with Steelers coach Mike Tomlin. Clearly there's a mutual admiration society, but nobody knew if they were eventually, if he was going to put his name on a contract, and he finally did for 1 year. Now the question becomes, will he still be around? Is it week eight when the Steelers play the Packers?
Yeah, a Sunday night football. Steelers, it'll be Jordan Love against Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh on NBC Sunday night football. And he starts out, you know, his career with the Steelers week one against, you know, his former team, the Jets. It'll be Justin Fields, the former Steelers quarterback, against Aaron. So that's going to be, you know, the NFL schedulers know what they're doing. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Aaron can make things so complicated sometimes. And, you know, he's done this thing where he used to criticize Brett Favre for this. Well, he's doing it where he finds out ways to get away from the OTAs and the mini camps. As a matter of fact, his last year in Green Bay, he was week three of training camp, complaining about some of these young receivers that he had around him that they picked up in the draft, like a Romeo Dobbs and all that. Like, these guys got to pick it up, right? And I've covered him all those years since he got drafted in Green Bay. And I said, Aaron, you know, when Brett would come in here for training camp, it would take about 2.5 weeks for him to get going, right? And he smiled. Yes, that's true. I said, and you came here day one, and you were ready to go. And he smiled again. That's right. Because he was in tip-top condition. He was ready to go. Unbelievable passes, unbelievable tricks with the football for day one of training camp. But if you're going to complain about these young receivers, wouldn't it help if you could come to some of the OTAs or the mini camp to, you know, let them get more reps with you? And some of the beat writers later said, dude, do you have a death wish? He'll never talk to you again after a question like that. No, I know this guy the whole time. And that's when he gave his kind of famous answer. He goes, look, the off season, you know, those programs, OTAs, are all fine and good. That's the 100 level curriculum for our offense. When I get here, that's the 200 and the 300 level when I'm on the field, because we run a different offense when we're on the field. And that right there is the problem, because with the 30 hand signals, he makes it so complicated at times. That's some of the problems that some of these players around him have. But they love him as a guy and as a talent. It's just if they can somehow be on his same wavelength.
Yeah. We've got the AmFam Championship this weekend at TPC. You had the Women's U.S. Open last Sunday at Erin Hills. And I got 30 seconds left here for you to tell me about Game 1 of the NBA Finals, the Pacers leading one time and at the very end.
Tyrese Halliburton does it again. The kid from Oshkosh North High School, you know, they're down by 15 in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
He gets it within four, so he drills. It comes down, a jump shot from the right-hand side, good. And the Pacers steal one. First lead of the night, 111-110 with 0.3 of a second left last night. Game two is Sunday night in the NBA Finals.
Oh, that counts. Yeah, winning at the buzzer there. We're talking Friday Sports with Mike Clemens. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any three games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the fifth quarter. There's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kinoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Get those oars ready. It's time for Rafter Baseball. Your Wisconsin Rapids Rafter season is here, and there's never been a better time to get to legendary Winter Field. They have new and classic promotions going on all summer. And remember, if you can't get to the park, every hit, every pitch, every win is at 97.5 WFHR. We will have every game broadcast here as it's been for 16 years. Get to know the team with our segment, Meet Your Rafters, and listen for ticket giveaways. It's going to be a memorable summer with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and your 97.5 FM WFHR. Let's play ball!
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Last year we had 18 bars that participated. We are now up to 42 bars restaurants.
Whoa.
So between drink tickets, gift certificates, t-shirts, canned koozies, we have a lot for our adults this year.
I don't want to mess with your flow. You're rolling right now. But I hope people are paying attention. There's so many different things that are going on here, and all of them really stemming from loving the essence and the meaning behind this day. Hey, you know, those bars are – a bar in Wisconsin only advertises when it really wants to. It doesn't necessarily need to. And I think that's noteworthy. That's a compliment and a credit to those businesses wanting to be a part of this. That's a huge jump in numbers. That's really impressive.
It is. Last year, it was kind of hard to get people to wrap their minds around it because they're like an adult scramble. So I had to explain it to them, and then we bought 6 tickets, and then they donated 6. Well, after they found out how much fun everybody was having and stuff, we don't even buy them. They're just donating. That's cool. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
So then we have bingo, again, in the small part of the community center from 2 to 4. GL Wesley will take the small stage. We're adding this year from 2 to 6. Kids pedal pull, we moved up because it was a little late last year to from 3:30 till whenever it's done. They've got 5 on my poster, but usually when the kids are done, I have pictures that are hilarious of the adults.
Yes. So, I've seen some of them.
So the adults have just as much fun as the children do.
Absolutely.
And 5 o'clock by popular demand, we're having our cakewalk again. And then we're all excited that Derek Jones and the 50 South will be pulling up 7 to 11. So very, very excited.
Derek has performed quite a bit in this area, and he's joined us. We've talked to him. I'm not only a big fan of him as an artist and his music, and if people are noticing, he's only getting stronger and better at what he's doing. Yes. The more reps, the more times he's out there doing that. But this is a guy who continues to try to come back and do things in the area, support the area, support events like this in the area. I really admire that. With at a point in his career where there are certainly, and just to be blunt with people, there are times where there might be a paid gig or something really, really big for him that he is turning down to do something here because he believes in this area so much and supporting this area. I admire, he's the guy who's putting his money where his mouth is, or his exactly. guitar where his mouth yep. is, or something. He's doing it, though. He's doing it.
I'm excited. He's actually going to be at Hoofbeats this year. So
cool.
I'm going to be at Hoofbeats, so I'm looking forward to going up. I've talked to him on the phone, so I'm actually looking up and right excited on. To go up and talk to him and meet him in person. So.
One thing, I, if you don't mind, I wanted to go back and just touch on real quick. As far as the beginning of the day and stuff with the craft vendors, there's going to be Unique Expressions by Teresa, Needleworks, CW going to be down there, County Chicks, Soapery, Coco's Creations, Five Feathers Crafts, and a variety of other crafters will
yes.
be down there.
Yes.
The food trucks, a lot of your mainstays are local favorites. You got Rocky Rococo, Rainbow Snow, Christie's Smokehouse BBQ, Masonic Lodge, am I saying that right?
Yep.
128 going to be there, and of course the Vesper Cafe will be down there.
Right.
Shout out to all of them for being a part of this.
Yeah, I'm excited because most of them have been there with us all 5 years. So
yeah, really,
I'm pretty excited.
You know, I'm very excited about the parade, not this year, but next year, and see where that develops and everything. You've heard in this interview here a handful of times that Margie has mentioned something for next year. It shows the care and the detail put into this event every year. Just gives us one more chance to hopefully have some empathy for you and the team and what you guys do to mm-hmm. put this event together, but also some really some respect on this and not only bringing this event back, but successfully. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's one thing to bring it back and it does okay maybe the first year, and then this is only going to get stronger as you're going along with this. That's
yeah.
really cool to see. For me, selfishly, it's a fun position to be in. I get to see this stuff develop and grow. I think of Bluegrass at the Lake a little bit, and mm-hmm. when they first joined us, and how we were just trying to, you know, get people to know about this fun little fest that we were trying to kick off. They were trying to kick off, and I say we, but I can't help myself. I'm such a homer, and to see where it is now, and so many in this area have great memories of that fireman's picnic. Bringing that back, that is a wonderful thing for our community. So I think you guys have done quite a bit. I wanted to get to, before we wrap up, ways certainly, you know, people can get tickets or anything like that, but always looking for volunteers. If,
yes.
if we can help somehow
yes.
take a little bit off of your guys' plate.
That would be awesome.
So you got anything on that?
If anybody would like to volunteer, I will definitely take it. You can give me a call at 715-305-5040, or you can outreach us on the Village of Vesper Recreation Group Facebook page. Or the Village of Vesper Facebook page, mm-hmm. either one.
I encourage you to do that, everybody. Not only putting back into the community, but getting to be a part of this event. There are no small roles with an event like this. Appreciate everybody that can, you know, be a part of this one and join us for this event. And before I completely destroy her voice and she's not able to keep continuing on here. No, I'm joking. I know, Margie, we had something else we wanted to touch on before we let you go.
So this weekend, I wanted everybody to know, is our village-wide, Vesper Village-wide garage sales. We had 10 garage sales registered, but I've noticed as I've driven around the neighborhood, we have more people. Mm-hmm. So come on out to Vesper for for that. I wanted to thank everybody that helped us with our Easter egg hunt. We were able to stuff over 6,000 eggs this year.
Whoa.
We gave away the bikes again. We had other prizes for the kids. Always looking for other ideas for that to keep it fun for the kids. A shout out to the Vesper Volunteer Fire Department and the Wisconsin Rapids Canine Unit, our officers that come every year. So thank you.
So many great people coming together to make this event happen and have some fun with this event, celebrate our area, celebrate Vesper, and appreciate all of them as well. I'd like to second everything that Margie was saying there. And certainly, again, we want you to be a part of this event, make plans for it. You can find out more and get tickets. There's plenty of opportunities for just coming on down and being a part of the event. So, the best way for people to do that, Margie, you mentioned the phone number, the Facebook page, both of them, the Vesper Recreation Group and Celebrate Vesper Days. Yep. Both have Facebook pages.
And everything is free except for the kids' inflatables.
Yeah, which...
And the beverages.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Job growth slowed last month, but came in better than analysts expected amid uncertainty over the president's tariffs. Employers added 139,000 positions compared to 177,000 in April. Economist Stephen Juneau.
Job growth is slowing a little bit. Over the last 3 months, we've added just an average of 135,000. But that's really not all that bad, considering things. So we're not seeing a sharp slowdown.
It's the day after the dramatic public implosion of President Trump and Elon Musk's relationship. CBS's Nancy Cordes at the White House.
Trump is talking to reporters by phone this morning, telling them that Musk has a problem and that he has no plans to speak to Musk by phone anytime soon.
Food distribution points in Gaza closed again. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer.
On the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation's website, there's an announcement that no distribution will be taking place today.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.